be healing. Let there be restoration. Let there be breakthrough, Lord, tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking God that you would deliver people from confusion. And I'm asking God that you would set the captive free. Fill people with the Holy Ghost tonight. Wash away sins. Father, we worship you this night. In Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord great praise. Amen. You can be seated while you're being seated. Tell somebody you love them. Job said, he said, my complaint, he said, is bitter. He said, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. He said, oh that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job, we understand him to be an established man. He's a man with woman, with a wife, with several children, with a business. He is a very wealthy, and at one time was a very wealthy and healthy and prosperous man. Many people in this world, you have heard the saying, why is it that good things happen to bad people? Bad things happen to good people. In this world today we're living in, there are things that go on in the life of people, and we're trying, and many times people seek out, they seek to try to point the finger at someone or bring fault to someone with the reason why things appear to be going wrong in a person's life. There have been times, I believe, that as even in my own life, as a young man and as a child all the way up until adult years, there were things that happened in life that just did not make any sense at all. It's amazing that when you come into this world, it's almost as like you are thrown into a rat race. You think about a child. When a child comes into this world, the Bible declares a man that is born of a woman is a few days and it's full of trouble. A child comes into this world, the child, praise the Lord, comes out of the womb and everything is made, is new before this child. The child is beginning to see figures. It cannot necessarily be able to be able to see clearly what is in front of them. The baby can only see maybe some colors or maybe some blur until after a few days begins to go by. The baby is able to see what he has been hearing for the past 9 months in his mother's womb. You can only imagine that as this child begins to make its change and begins to adapt from a new way of living, from living on the inside to living on the outside, the things that this child is enduring. The child, praise the Lord, doesn't necessarily know how to communicate with the words that his mother and father are using. But one thing about children or babies, God made them in such a way that if babies are nurtured and babies are taken care of, it is amazing how babies are able to catch on after a period of time. Many of us, praise the Lord, know some people. Many of us, praise the Lord, know a baby or two. At one time in your life, you were a baby or two. Praise the Lord. And in that part of your life, praise God, it seemed as if there was something on the inside of this child. There's this desire for more and more and more. One day, the child's desire is just to be able to sit up on his own. The next day, the child's desire is to be able to crawl with no problems. And then if you give it a few more months, that child no longer is looking towards crawling, but now the child is looking towards walking. And you got to understand that what gives that child the desire to get up and crawl and the desire, praise the Lord, to sit up on his own is because that child has a vision that is in front of him. Mom and dad and other people, he see them having the liberty to get up and walk around and be able to do things in life that he himself needs other people to come and do for him. It's not like the child can just get up and go to the candy jar. It's not like the child can just get up and explore the house on his own. But I believe that within a matter of a few months of a child, within a matter of 3 to 6 months, there's this desire within the heartbeat of this child to be able to do something in life. The child said, if I could only, praise the Lord, get on top of that cabinet. If I could only, praise the Lord, see what's on the other side of that door. If I could only tear down that jacket, praise the Lord, that is in mom and dad's closet. If I could only taste of that beautiful, colorful liquid that is sitting on the counter. Praise the Lord. Children, praise God, babies have a way of having this desire within their heart, praise the Lord, that makes them want to go after what is in front of them. You got to understand, praise the Lord, that if you want to find someone that has no problem with exploring things in this world, all you got to do is look at a baby. Praise the Lord, babies have a tendency not to have any fear about themselves. Babies can just go out and they'll jump out into anything. Babies, praise the Lord, they don't think before they do. And that's why God puts parents and puts siblings in their life. Why? Because if babies would have just raised themselves, praise the Lord, there would probably not be any adults around in this world today. But what happens, praise God, is that as this child begins to grow, eventually this child begins to change his desires. His desires are no longer sufficient, praise the Lord. Where he desired to be at today is no longer sufficient for where he desires to be tomorrow. He's growing. He is obtaining things in this world. And it appears as though everything in this world is centered around the development and trying to make this child comfortable. Anybody in this room got any little siblings, or at one time or another you were a little sibling? Praise the Lord. But anybody in this room ever met somebody that was 2 years old? Praise God. They believe that up until the age of two, they believe that everything belongs to them and everything is theirs. Praise God. And if I want it, then it must be mine. And if you come into the house with my with something that I don't have, whatever comes in that house is mine. Praise the Lord. Children at that age are convinced, praise the Lord, that if it looks good to me, then it must belong to me. Praise the Lord. And if I don't have one of those, then it must be mine. And if I still have one of those, that's mine too. Praise God. Anybody in this room met a child like that? Praise the Lord, where that child is convinced that everything that he sees and everything that catches his eye is something that belongs to him. But what eventually begins to happen, praise the Lord, is this child, praise the Lord's mindset begins to change. Why? Because it is then around the age of two and the age of three that he begins to hear the word no. Praise the Lord. Anybody ever got into an argument, praise the Lord, with a child over the word no? Praise the Lord. The child hates that word no. Anybody ever told the child, praise the Lord, you can't have it. Put it down. And the child says, it's mine. And you tell the child, no, it's mine. And the child, praise the Lord, will go toe to toe with you. The child, praise the Lord, will be willing to take an L, praise the Lord, to get what it wants. Why? Because you got to understand something about the human nature as it begins to develop, praise the Lord, when it has something in its view that it truly wants, it wants to go after it. But what happens is over a period of time, as a child begins to touch something, maybe mom said, leave that iron alone, and the child touched the iron, praise the Lord, and when that child touched the iron, the child recognized that the iron was hot. And due to the pain that the child felt, the child, praise the Lord, began to abstain from anything that looked like it was hot. Praise the Lord. You take a child, praise the Lord, that gets tricked into eating some green vegetables. Praise the Lord. The mom, if I don't know how your mom was, praise the Lord, but you got some mothers out there that are very creative. Praise the Lord. They will convince the child. They'll wave something in front of the child that the child really wants, something that's colorful. And by the time the child has turned his eyes, mom has put a sneak attack move and she has deposited something green into the child. Child's mouth, and now the child wants to abstain from anything that is of that color. What do you mean? Children, praise the Lord, begin to realize over a period of time that everything that looks good don't taste good. Praise the Lord. Everything that is in front of them, they recognize that though there may be some things that they may want, they also begin to realize that there's some things that they do not want. Praise the Lord. So what happens is you take this young baby, praise God, it begins to grow. And as it grows, it begins to realize that now life, praise the Lord, is got some things to learn about. There are some things that I don't do. Praise God. You take a child, as that child is going to, before they have those little fences and things that they have at the top of the steps, praise the Lord, to protect children from going down the steps. Children at one time, they just fell down the steps, praise God. You may say, Brother Hurt, well, that's not my testimony. That was a testimony in our house. My parents, praise the Lord, they was broke. Praise the Lord, they was poor. Praise God, they told you to stay away from the steps. And if you went over there by the steps, praise the Lord, after you took one tumble, praise God, you didn't have to really worry about that child going by the steps, playing by the steps anymore. So what happens is a child begins to realize through pain, the child begins to realize through trial and error that there's some things that I have to keep myself away from. There's some things that I have to do, praise God. Why? Because even though I'm a child and even though I'm innocent, it doesn't mean that I am, it doesn't mean, praise the Lord, that I am exempt from pain. It doesn't mean that I'm exempt from problems. Does it mean that I'm exempt from trouble? Wrong decision, praise the Lord, can cause your whole life to be turned upside down. And the right decision, praise the Lord, can prolong the life of a child, praise the Lord, that may be in this room tonight. What do you mean? There are people, praise God, that know of people. I remember a child, praise the Lord, when I was in elementary school. And I remember in this one particular deal where a kid went out into the creek and decided that he was going to go for a swim. Him and a few other kids within the neighborhood decided that they were going to go to Fall Creek. Fall Creek is a creek. It is like a little small river that runs throughout the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. And this child, praise God, decided, he's about 7 years old, decided to go for a swim. And as he went for the swim, the undercurrent, praise the Lord, that was in the water snatched him completely under. And the rest of the children began to try to save the boy, but they understood the danger of getting into the water. We all know the end of that story. The child, praise the Lord, ended up losing his life. And I will never forget, praise the Lord, of the reality that came to me that day, that I recognized that a person could really be trying to have a good time, have no problems, have no ill desires at all to do anything wrong, praise the Lord, but just making the wrong choice or the wrong move can cause even a child his own life. You gotta understand, praise God, when you begin to look at the mother of that child, and you begin to look at the father of that child, and you begin to look at the community, as the community begin to mourn the death of that precious little child, all the people will begin to say in the funeral, they begin to say, how is it that this thing could occur? Why was it that God did not step in and block and intervene in something that was so detrimental like this? I remember one time, praise God, when I was in middle school, and there was a good friend of mine named Nick Malloy, and Nick, praise the Lord, was getting off the bus, praise the Lord. It was right after Christmas break, and he was getting off the bus. It was the first day of school back from Christmas break, and he was getting off the bus, headed home. All of a sudden, a drunk driver came driving down 62nd Street in the city of Indianapolis, and all of a sudden, praise the Lord, this child, this young 11-year-old boy, sixth grader, was hit, praise the Lord, by a drunk driver, and as his body ascended up into the sky and was thrown several feet up into the sky, and praise the Lord, and was sent several yards in front of him, church. It was then, praise the Lord, that his boy, when he hit the ground, he died upon impact. And what happened was, when I went to the funeral of this child, I remember everybody beginning to figure out in their minds, trying to figure out, how in the world could life deliver such a blow like this? I heard the mother say that he wanted to be a football player. I remember other students talking about the things that they had and had planned for the days that were to come. This young man had what appeared to be his whole life in front of him. But church, all of a sudden we know the end of that. Life happens to everybody, and death happens to everybody. And even through the process of it, sometimes we think that there are people that come into this world, and we have this thought in mind that people are going to live a lot longer than what they actually do. And then there are some people we think that'll live a lot shorter than what they actually live. But when it's all over with and done, we understand that God is the one, praise the Lord, that holds the power on who continues to live, and he holds the power on whose life comes to an end. So what happens, praise God, was at that moment I began to realize, praise the Lord, that this just doesn't make any sense. Have you ever been in a situation in your life, praise the Lord, where it's like you're kind of forced to try to grow up? Anybody in this room, praise the Lord, ever dealt with something that you never should have ever encountered? I'm not talking about the things that you stepped out and did. I'm not talking, praise the Lord, about the decisions and choices that you made. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking, praise God, about you stepping out and doing something that you know that you never should have done. I'm talking to some people in this room, praise the Lord, that life has happened to you. Some things have occurred in your life, praise the Lord, that don't make any sense at all. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? You got to understand that when people begin to talk about things in this life and they're saying, I don't understand why this happened to me. I don't understand why this happened to my mother. I don't understand why this happened to my father. We're stuck, and we're not only are we stuck, but we are are left there, praise the Lord, with the responsibility of trying to figure out the why for some things that may have happened in our life, but it's not happening to the life of somebody that's sitting next to you. You got to understand, praise the Lord, that in this world and in this life, praise the Lord, that you may come into the world at the same time. As a matter of fact, between now and the end of this service, between now and the end of this service, there will be several babies that will be born here in the city of Cleveland, Ohio. But can I tell you, church, they can be born at the same time, and they can live on the same street corner, and they can both have the same school system and both be brought up the same way. But by the time they turn 25 and 30 years old, praise the Lord, the things that have occurred in one person's life may be different than the things that occur in the next person's life. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? Can I tell everybody in this room tonight, praise the Lord, that just because you came in here at the same time does not mean that you're going to leave here the same time. Just because you came in this world at the same time does not mean that you will go through the same thing at the person you came into this world with at the same time. You got to understand, praise the Lord, that there's something about life, praise the Lord, that just does not make any sense at all. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? You got to understand that when a person begins to factor in the equation, if you are living long enough, the Bible declares that the heavens begin to declare his handiwork. The earth, his creation, begins to testify about God. I remember when I was about 6 years old and I was walking through the neighborhood and I was trying to figure out who created this sun and who created the sky and what's beyond the stars and what's beyond the sky. I knew deep down inside, praise the Lord, that we did not just get here by accident, that there was someone that had to create us. There was someone that had to create the things that I saw. Church, you gotta understand, praise the Lord, that as we begin to understand, praise God, that there is a creator, it takes faith to believe that the creator that we're talking about is the God of creation. You gotta understand, praise the Lord, that this is not just any kind of God. The Bible declares, it says that in the scripture it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You gotta understand, if I go to a Hindu temple, they will tell you that there is a God. If I go over into the Middle East and I go and see someone in the mosque, they will tell you that there is a God. If I go, praise the Lord, into a Buddhist temple, someone would tell me there is a God. If I would go back into the days of Rome, into the days of the Greeks, and they would deal with their philosophers, they would tell you that there is a God. But church, can I tell you that not only is there a God, but church, there is only one God. There's not a multiple deities that are out there in the sky. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. And there is only one baptism. Now, when we understand who this one God is, I'm going to speak some things, praise the Lord. And in one place, it's not going to make any sense to some of us. Why? Because not only is there one God, but that one God is a spirit. The Bible declares that not only is that one God a spirit, but that one God has a characteristic about himself. The Bible declares that God is love. Everybody say, God is love. You gotta understand, praise the Lord, that God is love. And church, sometimes when we begin to recognize God being love, we put God in the equation. When we think God being love, we measure love by mom and dad. We measure love based upon someone that makes us feel good. What do you mean, many of you in this room? You say your mama loves you, or maybe, praise the Lord, you say your daddy loves you, or maybe you say your grandmama loves you, or maybe you say your nappy-headed boyfriend loves you. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Maybe you say, praise God, your crooked tooth girlfriend love you. Praise the Lord. I don't know who it is in your life, praise the Lord, that you say loves you. But usually what happens is somewhere along the line, praise the Lord, you begin to measure love based off of an individual. Church, can I tell you that if you're going to measure love, you can't measure love by man. You can't measure love by woman. You can only measure love by God. And church, it's impossible to measure anything against God. Why? Because he's so high that you can't go over. And he's so wide that you can't go around. And he's so low that you can't go under. Church, you've got to understand, we serve a big, big God. We serve an amazing God. We serve a mighty, powerful God. So if God is love, then that means that God loves me. And when we think about love, there's some things that we won't do to somebody simply because we love them. There's some people, praise the Lord, that I know throughout the years. There's some children that are out there that are like, I thought my mother loved me, praise the Lord, until I got of age and figured out that my mother has nothing to do with me. There are people, praise the Lord, that are trying to figure out where their father is. You gotta understand, we're living in a world, praise God, that God has created. The Bible declares that God is the creator of all things. He is the creator of heaven and the earth. And you gotta understand that God is the one that holds the key, holds the power to cause something to come to pass, or he can shut something down. But what happens to a person, praise the Lord, when we understand that the God who is known as love has the power to stop a storm, and also has the power to send the storm. What do I do in my life when I come to a position, when I figure out that God not only loves me, but God has the power to save me, has the power to deliver me, has the power to change me, has the power to heal me. Many of us, praise the Lord, we believe in God at a very young age. We hear about God. We hear people talk about God. We talk about God. And we are believing God to do the impossible in our life. We believe that God can heal the sick. We believe that if something happens to your friend or your neighbor, you believe that God will turn their life around. Anybody in this room believes that God has all power? Anybody in this room believes that God has all power? We go to church and the preacher preaches about who God is. The preacher talks about how much God has, and the preacher talks about where God dwells. The preacher talks about what God can do, and begins to talk about who God is, and tells the world that God loves you, and that God adores you, and that God sent his only begotten son to save you, and that God won't ever put more on you than what you can bear. But my friend in this house tonight, can I tell you that in spite of who God is, there's some things that still begin to fight against the mind of people, especially young people, when they come to a place when it feels like they believe God and they have talked up God and they have told everybody what God is capable of doing, and they believe upon the capabilities and upon the power of God. But have you ever had something happen in your life and you know that God loves you, but yet at the same time something happened to you that injured you, something happened to you that harmed you, something happened to you that created so much pain and so much devastation in your life? and now you're brought back to the drawing board, and now you're trying to figure out, God, if you truly love me, and God, if you truly say that you are who you say that you are, why is it that you let this thing happen to me? Why is it, God, that you let this thing happen to my brother? Why is it, God, that you let this thing happen to my sister? Is there somebody in this room that's ever gone through something and then you have to second guess and say, what in the world is going on right now? I don't understand how a God that can love me so much can allow me to go through so much pain, can allow me to go through so much sorrow. If you love me, God, why did you not protect me? What do you mean, Brother Hurt? Can I tell you, praise the Lord, there are people that have walked away from God. Why? Because they said if God was truly who he said he was, if you are telling me that God truly loves me, then why didn't God stop that man from molesting me? If you say that God truly loves me, why did God not stop that bullet from taking my father out of here? If you say that God truly loves me, preacher, why didn't God stop it when my mother was on the deathbed dying? If God truly loved me, he truly know what was on the inside of my heart. He truly know the things that I would have to suffer. He would truly know the pain that I would have to endure. Can I tell somebody in this room tonight? Can I tell you that you're not the only person that's ever been in that predicament? You're not the only person that's ever been in that situation. But can I tell you that in spite of every situation that's in your life, he's still God. And one thing about him, it might have happened to you, but he will not leave you there. I don't care where you're at right now. There's no devil in hell that can keep you where God wants to bring you out of. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. So what do you mean? I want to talk to somebody in this room. You go to school, praise the Lord, and you got to have that look on your face. You know what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. You got to act like everything is going perfect. You got to put the mask on your face and act like everything is going fine. You got to have that look like everything is going great. You know good and well that you're broke and ain't got no food at home. You know good and well, praise the Lord, there's confusion and your mama's being beat. You know good and well, yet your father's strung out on dope. You gotta come to school and put a mask on. You gotta pretend and act like everything is going perfect. Gotta act like everything is going good. You gotta put on the act. You feel like you're putting it on the show. And now what's happening is, praise the Lord, you're living your life so that you can put on this facade and act like you are something that you're not. But can I tell you, my friend, that the devil may have you put it on an act, and that the devil may have you feeling like you can't be who you are. But just because the devil may have you putting on the act, can I tell you that God is not putting on an act. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he says he's going to heal you, he's going to heal you. If he says he's going to deliver you, he's going to deliver you. If he says he's going to bring you out, he's going to bring you out. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? Can I tell somebody in this room? The Bible declares that Job began to seek after the Lord. Have you ever been in a place in life where something happened and it did not make any sense at all? Have you ever been in a place in life where you went to church and what God said, it did not make any sense to your mind when you begin to compare with what's going all around you? Can I tell you, my friend, though it may not make any sense to you, doesn't mean it don't make sense to God. The Bible declares that God's ways are higher than your ways, and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know one thing, my friend, all you know is yesterday, but God knows your tomorrow. And can I tell you, it might make you feel like you're dying on the inside, but my friend, if you die, he will raise raise you back up. He will restore you. He will heal you. He will deliver you. You might have been scarred for... You say, preacher, I've been scarred for life. He said, I'll give you a new life. I'll give you eternal life. Preacher, I've been damaged for life. No, sir, if you'll get born again, he'll give you a new life. The Bible declares, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. God, if you love me, why weren't you here? See, you'll understand that when things begin to go on and you begin to recognize that God is omnipresent, that means that God is everywhere at one time. When you begin to recognize, praise the Lord, that God, praise the Lord, is not contained and confined in just one particular area, but God is in multiple different areas all at one place at one time, there comes a place where the carnal mind begins to ask these questions and say, God, if you love me so much, why is it that you're treating me like you don't love me? Why? Because if my earthly father did this to me, or if my earthly father allowed this to happen to me, it would be counted as my father not loving me. If my earthly mother allowed this to happen to me, it would be counted as my mother does not love me. However, Lord, you allow it to happen to me, and you tell me that you love me. You got to understand that God is not the cause for the things that have occurred in your life, but he's the cause of the reason why it did not destroy you. He's the cause of the reason why what killed everybody else did not kill you. What made other people commit suicide make you stand. There is a cause for the reason why you're still alive. He's a cause for the reason why you have not died. The Bible declares that Job answered and said, he said, even to the day, he said, even today is my complaint bitter. He said, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Church, have you ever been in a place, praise God, where it feels like you've had it up to here? Have you ever been in a place, praise the Lord, where you're like, God, I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm feeling this thing. Lord, I just don't want to get out of bed. Lord, I just want to just go run somewhere if I could just disappear. But can I tell you, you can disappear from the problem that's without, but you can never run from the problem that's within. The reason why there's a problem in your heart, praise the reason why there's a problem so much in your mind, it's not because of what's going on the outside, it's because of the trouble that's gotten on the inside of your heart. But can I tell somebody in this room that God said, I'm touched with the feeling of your infirmity. The devil is a liar. Some of you don't believe it, but can I tell you what the enemy wants to do? He wants to convince you that there is no hope for you. Wants to convince you that you're just going to be like everybody else. Wants to convince you that there's no turning around for you. That the devil is a liar. Can I tell you? He said, if any man be in Christ, that means that's the black man, that's the white man, that's the Indian man, the Chinese man, the Mexican man, the Puerto Rican man, the Asian man, the Australian man, the angry man, the happy man, the good man, the little man, the bitter man, the hurt man, the molested man, the rape man. I've come to tell you, regardless of where you're at, he said, if you get on the inside of me, he said, I'll make you new. I'll turn you around. I don't care how old you get, you're never too old to be made new. He says that I might come. He said, oh, that I might know where I might find him. You know, understand, praise the Lord, you ever been in the middle of something, praise God, you're like, I just gotta find out where God is at. Have you ever been to the place? You gotta understand, Job has no problem, praise the Lord, with God. Before everything happened, he, praise the Lord, was like, everything was good. He felt like, man, I'm doing what God's telling me to do. I'm being blessed, praise the Lord. My business is flourishing. My children are healthy. My wife, my marriage, everything is perfect. He said, basically, everything's good. My health is fine. And all of a sudden, life begins to happen. But the Bible declares it wasn't just life that happened. The devil came to God. And the Bible declares that the Lord asked the devil, he said, where are you coming from? Where are you going? He said, I'm going to and fro throughout the earth. The Bible declares that God spoke to the devil. The devil was looking to destroy somebody. And the Lord said, have you tried my servant Job? Can I tell you, church, what do you do when you find out that the very God that you love and the very God that loves you was the very God that allowed the opposition to come into your life? Do you understand that the Lord will never send the devil at your front door if he's not already standing in your house? If he's not already standing around you, he's never going to allow an attack to come against you if he's not already standing for you. The Bible declares, if God be before you, he's more than this world against you. Somebody needs to open up your mouth and give the Lord praise that the Lord is still on your side. So what do you mean? The Bible says that Job, he's been thrown into something. There's a conversation. And have you ever felt like, I can only imagine, Job, it's probably like, God, if you knew all this stuff, if you were going to do all this and you knew the devil was going to come to me, why didn't you send me an email, text message, Instagram, or inbox me? Do something, Jesus. You got to understand the Lord. You got to understand, Job was walking through the day. Everything's perfect. Next thing you know, he gets blindsided. Have you ever felt like everything was going good? You went to church, everything was going good, and went to school. Next thing you know, you got blindsided. Went to work, got blindsided. Did what God told you to do and got blindsided. Can I tell you, just because you've got opposition with God, does not mean that you've lost the favor of God. But church, if you're going to walk in the favor of God, you can rest assured there's going to be some opposition in your life. But church, can I tell you that whatever opposes you, it's going to elevate you. I've come to tell you, whatever storm is in your life, it's going to be your footstool. Can I tell somebody in this house tonight that the Lord said, I will make your enemies your footstool? What do you mean your past is going to be your footstool? The storm in your life is going to be your footstool. The pain in your mind is going to be your footstool. I know it may be stepping all over you right now, but God said you're going to step all over it. I'm come to tell you, I don't know what serpent may be around your neck. I don't know what generational curse may be on your life. But can I tell you that the anointing that God has on your life is greater than the curse that the devil can put on your life? Church, you gotta move with him. You gotta move. What do you mean? The Bible declares, it says, he said, I would order, he said, I might come and sit at his seat. Church, what's going on? This Job is trying to figure out where God is. Church, sometimes, have you ever been in a place where it's like, God, I just want to figure out what you're doing, Lord. I want to figure out what you're doing. Many of us don't want to accept what God's doing until we know what he's doing. We will accept it if we know what he's doing. But what do you do when you don't know what he's doing, but he tells you to accept it. Anyway, Job is speaking to God. The Bible says, behold, he said, I go forward, but he's not there. What do you mean, God? You say you're with me, and I'm going to try to find out where you're at. Have you ever been in a situation, and you're trying to find out where he's at? Have you ever been in a situation where it tried your faith, and you begin to say, God, are you real? Are you around? Where are you? you, God. If you tell me that you're with me, you tell me that you love me, I'm trying to find out where you're at, because right now all I see is devastation around me. All I see is pain around me. All I see is confusion around me. Let me see if I can find you. Job said, behold, I go forward. He's not there. He said, I go backwards. He said, but I cannot perceive him. What do you mean, God? You got the power to reveal yourself. You got the power to show me where you're at. Why is it, God, that when I try to find you, I can't find you? But when there's an adversary, I can see the adversary, but I can't see you. I can see the pain, but I can't see the joy. I can see the pain, but I can't see deliverance. I can see the pain. Only thing I've got to hold on to is the fact that you said you will never leave me, nor will you ever forsake me. Can I tell you, if all you've got is what he said to you on yesterday, hold on to it. It will deliver you through today, and it will keep you until tomorrow. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He says, on the left hand where he works, but I cannot behold him. He's hiding himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Right hand means power. He's hiding himself. I mean, you ever gone through something and like, I don't even know how I'm even making it. Anybody ever felt like, man, I don't even know how I even got here. I don't even know how I've even got a right mind after all the stuff I've gone through. I don't even know how. Job looked to the front, went there, went to the back, couldn't perceive him. Looked to the left, where he worked, but couldn't behold him. And Job said, I can perceive where he is at. He's hiding himself on the right side, but I can't see him. Listen, if you're still here, it's because he's still working. If you're still here, it's because he's working something for your good. If he's still here, it's because he's doing something. He's delivering you. You would not be here on your own. He says he's working. He's hiding himself. I can't see him, but it's evident that he's here. Because it's not by my own power that I stand here. How many of you tonight are standing here in your own strength and in your own power? Your own power got you here. Who in this room? You say, Brother Hurt, I'm standing here today and I've gotten here in my own power. None of us. But Job said, he is convinced that God knows the way that he takes. And he says, when he's tried me, I'm going to come forth pure as gold. Lift your hands. If I could be real with every person in this room, a Everybody say, keep it real, keep it real, Brother Hurt, keep it real. No, you got to say, keep it real, keep it real, keep it real, Brother Hurt, keep it real. Church, I was looking on Facebook the other day. If there's anything that, I know this is a youth night, and I know we all young in this house, but there's some that are much younger. If I feel like there's anything that I saw, that I see hindsight, they say hindsight is 20/20. That means that I can look back and see something back then that I didn't see until now. I looked at some people I knew just coming up as children. I knew the stuff that was going on in my house as a child. I knew the stuff that was going on in my house as a teenager. I did not know the stuff that was going on in everybody else's house. I remember as from a youth, there always being this competition and this pressure to impress everybody else. Or the look like, basically, you know, I remember going to school talking about folks that were poor. We was broke. We talked about dysfunctional families, and we were majorly dysfunctional. We wanted to appear to be like a particular image. To a place where there were some relationships that I had with some people, and the only reason why those relationships I had, it wasn't because I was being real. I was acting as if I fit a certain persona or a certain criteria that not only was I not fitting, come to find out as we got older, come to find out none of us fitted. There are ladies that I went to high school with that are literally out of their mind. And we're like, man, what happened? They just were so perfect. They had everything just going great. Everything was going good. They were just so perfect. But there was this pressure to act like they were something what they weren't. They never were able to be given the opportunity by their peers to deal with their own issues and to acknowledge, man, this is where I'm at. But you know what I'm talking about. They crucify you for being in a situation that you didn't get yourself in. And not only do I see that back then, I still see it now. I see it among people in this church. And I see it among young people throughout this whole country. I see it in young people in Indianapolis. I see it in young people in Texas, Florida, New York, California, all across the globe. And the thing is, when you go through life trying to impress everybody else, you end up dead. But if you go through life trying to impress God, you'll end up healed. You'll end up saved. You'll end up alive. You'll end up with joy. You'll end up with peace. You'll end up delivered. Come on. And what you went through in your house, it won't happen in the house that you get when you get older. Why? Because you were real with God now. I'll never forget. Here, get out of here. Never forget being in my English class in high school, one of the football players from school went to church that Sunday. And there was another sister in the class that heard something about what happened to this brother. She said, yeah, Solomon got the Holy Ghost. Now, Solomon was a tough guy, but he was like the guy that everybody liked. He was like the high school celebrity. She said, Solomon got the Holy Ghost on Sunday. And I remember when that was spoken. I never heard about the Holy Ghost even being God. And I remember when he got it. And somebody told the classroom. And it was like all of a sudden he began to sink down in his chair. And it was like he became ashamed. But listen, he would not have gotten the Holy Ghost if there wasn't some level of hunger and desperation in his spirit. And you can't get it if you're not broken. And I'm trying to figure out, how was it that he got the Holy Ghost and he was able to hide his brokenness from everybody for so long? I realized that the image that we held him to was hindering him from carrying and walking in the brokenness that God is attracted to. And church, can I tell you, everybody in here has got something that when it cuts to the core of their heart, there's some serious brokenness. I don't care how strong they look. I don't care how handsome he looks. I don't care how beautiful she looks. I don't care who they are, what they've got. Somebody sitting next to you is going through something right now. And if they can jump up and scream out to God and say, Lord, I need your help. I know you see what's on the outside, but I know you see what's on the inside. I need you. I'm desperate for you. Lord, I need your help. I need your deliverance. I need you to free me right now. Me, Mother Hurt, talking about, there's some people that say, you know, I remember telling the kid, I said, when I was a kid, that's good. I live change. You know what? Put your hands down. There were times where I felt like if I just had the opportunity to go back, I probably would have done things differently. See, if I start looking at some of you ladies over here, and the Holy Ghost started working, and I started ministering right to where you're at, many of you will begin to break immediately. Why? Because the Holy Ghost begins to work. The Bible says when the secrets of a man's heart is revealed, he'll fall down and he'll repent. Why? Because God doesn't just look on the outward. He looks on the inward. See, many of us want to define ourselves by the outward. But God says, I know what's going on the inside of you. I know what's hurting you. I know where the pain is at. I know where the issue is at. I know what you're running from. I know where the real stronghold is. I know where you're putting the blame at. And I know where the source comes from. And I'm your deliverer. I'm your healer. I know that you may look like you're angry, but I'm coming come to tell you, you're going to be healed. You're going to be free. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be free. Come on, somebody in this house. Somebody has to stand up and say, Lord, I need you to deliver this wretched man that's on the inside of me. Trapped. Anybody in this room ever felt like you were trapped? I remember telling a young boy, a friend of mine, and later on in life, we began to talk, and I told him, we started talking. He knew me as a child. It's amazing how people are even able to hide stuff from their friends. I said, man, during that season of my life, that 5, 7, 6, 7, 8 year old season, I said, that time period, I was being molested at that time period. I said, every time after that, I said, I was getting the brakes beat off of me. I said, I've got whip marks all over my body unto this day, praise the Lord, that was laid upon me from my own father. I said, in my house where people seemed like everybody looked at the hurt family, and then they was like, oh yeah, they're good family, those good people, they got their father and their mother there. I said, in that house, my sister was being molested. In that house, there was devastation and confusion going on all through that house. Church, do you understand? I was ashamed of the very things that were happening to me, and I'm not the one responsible for the things that were inflicted upon me. Can I tell you, there's some people in this room, there's some things that have happened to you, and you feel shameful. That's why you walk around and your heart is hurting. That's why you walk around and you're depressed. That's why you walk around, you've got bad dreams, can't have no friends, sleeping around with this person and that person. You give yourself to everybody because deep down on the inside, you feel guilty for the things that have happened to you. But can I tell you, my friend, if you come to Jesus, he'll not only heal you, but he'll deliver you. He'll restore you, and he will make you new. Somebody stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet right now. If the Lord's talking to you, you feel this preacher talking to you, you feel God moving through this preacher right now, and you feel the Lord speaking to you, I want you to get out of your pew right now, and I want you to run to this altar with your heart, with your mouth, with your mind lifted up towards heaven. Say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Come on. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Right now, by the power and by the authority, it's in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. That's it. See, when I was a child, I remember when I came, got the Holy Ghost when I was in high school. I remember going to church before, and they say, just open up your mouth, just say Jesus, and I just say Jesus. I'd only say it in a way where I did not distort or disrupt the perception of the people that were around me. See, I was like Solomon was, my friend Solomon. I did not want to break the hearts of the people by destroying the image or the perception that they had of me. So if I lift up my hands and I called on the name of Jesus, I didn't call on it in the way that was transparent and actually was from the heart, but I did it in a way that did not destroy the outside person or the image before the people. What do you mean? The sister spoke to me. She said, Brother Hurt, you want the Holy Ghost? I said, yes. She said, you got to take your mind off of everything else. She said, you got to take your mind off of everybody else. See, some of you in this room, God wants to deliver you. He said, but you got to get your mind off of it. He said, I need you to get your mind off of it. I need you to get your mind off of what happened to you. I need you to get your mind off your mom and your dad. I need you to get your mind off the things that have occurred in your life and get your mind on Jesus. I want everybody in this room right now to begin to lift up your hearts right now. Close your eyes right now. Come on. Come on, that's it. Oh, God. I'm desperate. Any desperate people in this room? I'm killing the mask tonight. I'm taking the mask off tonight. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. This ain't about you. You don't go home with me. You don't live in my mind. You don't live in my heart. You don't live with the pain that I live with. Come on, that's it, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Come, come, come. Come on, that's it, in the name of Jesus. Begin to talk to him right now. Come. With your hearts, your mouth, what do you mean? What do I say to him? What do I say to him? Just begin to call his name, Jesus. Jesus, come on. Jesus. You gotta understand, you're not calling on the name of some random man. You're not calling on the name of a dead man. But you're calling on the name of God. The Bible declares that when you call on him, he said he will answer you and he will show you great and mighty things that you know not. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? That means I'm getting ready to take my mind off of my brother. You want to be a friend to your person next to you? You want to do the person next to you a favor? Get a hold of God tonight. Come on, you want to do your girlfriend a favor? Get a hold of God tonight. All it takes is one match to spark a forest fire. All it takes is one match to light up this whole building. You want to help the person next to you? Get a hold of God tonight. Come on, that's it, men. Come on, that's it. You wrestling with things? You got to get a